Last week and this week, we were studying the book of Thessalonians. And twice in those books, Paul asks us to remember the traditions that he handed down. Now, as we noted last week, most of us think of tradition in a negative way. Because if we're talking about the traditions of man, if we're talking about the things that are handed down only from mankind, then there is a negative connotation, which we'll look at again. I want to review quickly what we looked at last week. But there are many traditions that, coming from man, are very dangerous for us. And every nation has some of them. And so Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, you can see two branches coming down in this passage of Scripture. You see the branch of the tradition of men, and then you also see the branch of according to Christ. If we can trace back a tradition from father to son, all the way back to the Scriptures, that is a tradition that you and I need to cling to. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. That became a tradition. It is a tradition that the Lord's church has kept unbroken because we look and we see it all the way back to 1 Corinthians. We see it all the way back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus asks us to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. But then there are other traditions that have come in down the centuries. We can trace them back to 700, or we can trace them back to 1,000, or we can trace them back to the Protestant Reformation of the 14, 15, 1600s. But if it came from the philosophy and empty deceit, and it's now become a tradition, a respected tradition. Most of the denominations have some very respected traditions that are 400 or 500 years old. And they hold those traditions. But we have to be sure that they are not just according to the tradition of men, but according to the basic principles of the world. So, true Christians observe traditions that our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, but it didn't start with them. It goes back and back, back, all the way to the New Testament. Brethren, stand fast. That Greek word means to seize, to hold fast to. To see it as something so important and so critical that you would die before you would give it up. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So now I comb the epistles looking for traditions. A tradition on baptism that's been handed down from the New Testament. What does the Scriptures teach? There are many conflicting traditions about baptism. The one that we want comes all the way back into the New Testament Scriptures. In worship, there are traditions. Traditions that come from Jesus' words in John chapter 4, 23 and 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I want to be sure that my acts of worship do not come from the 14th century, that my acts of worship don't come from the 6th century. I want to make sure that my worship comes from John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, according to Jesus Christ. So, the traditions of men are religious traditions, and we have them. There is a religious tradition that babies are born in sin and that they need to baptize them stems from their need of being born in sin. But the scriptures say, the soul that sins will die. The Son shall not bear the iniquities of the Father, and the Father will not bear the iniquities of the Son. You can't pass sin down. Adam's sin ended when Adam died. Cain's sin started when he chose to sin and ended when he died. And all the way down from the history of the world, we are all born, as Paul said, I was alive apart from the law. We aren't born dead. We don't need to be baptized as infants. There is no sin in our soul. That tradition stems from teachings that started about the 3rd and the 4th century and have gotten strengthened and strengthened down through the centuries, and many people hold that today. But it is not a tradition from the scriptures, it is a tradition from the elders. And the problem with such tradition is you have to lay aside the commandment of God in order to hold it. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. But if you hold a tradition that babies are born in sin and have to be baptized, you have to set aside that commandment that Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized. So all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Another tradition that has been handed down through the centuries is that we are saved by faith only. This tradition was coming down from the Middle Ages, but really found its heart during the Protestant Reformation by John Calvin, who established the points of Calvinism, which do say that we are born in sin and also say that we can do nothing. Our faith matters not a bit. Because without those, God's selection, our works don't matter. And man hasn't changed. The Pharisees have left the earth. New men have taken their place. There are many traditions that go back to the first century that are under assault today. And we need to understand that the role of the woman that is established in the New Testament church, that is set forth in 1 Timothy and in 1 Corinthians and in 1 Peter, that's not a tradition we can let go of, even though the whole world looks down upon the tradition that the head of woman is the man and the head of man is Christ. We can't let go of that. It's tempting. It can bring persecution. If we hold to what Jesus and his apostles said, if we believe that the scriptures are inspired, as God says they are, and that's another tradition that has been handed down, that men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There is no human wisdom in the scriptures. We hold that tradition. We believe it with all of our heart. It goes all the way back to the first century. So on and on it goes. Right now, the roles of men and women are under assault. And they are fluid. If you think you're a man in a woman's body, you need to do something about it. If you think you're a woman in a man's body, that's a new tradition. They're pushing it. We can't go there. We accept, if God made me a man, then I'm a man. If God made me a woman, then I'm a woman. And as a woman, I will fulfill all of the commands that God has given to the woman. And as a man, I will fulfill all the commands that are given by God regarding either woman or man. The traditions of men are dangerous. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. There are many people in churches today, in the world today, whose traditions don't go any further back than 200 or 300 years or 5 or 10 years. Aimless conduct received by tradition. There are many traditions, brethren, And we have to be careful because we were raised in this culture, and sometimes those traditions still hold too much in our minds. Aimless conduct can only be created when we receive traditions that only come from our fathers and don't come from our Father in heaven. And there's no limit to these types of traditions. Those who are raised in the world with no true knowledge of Scripture, things get mingled, they get mixed. My father may not have been the father that has been handed down by tradition from the Scriptures. He may not have been the godly man that the Scriptures say, and therefore my role model that I'm going to keep as my tradition is flawed. And if I have a flawed tradition from my father, my conduct will be just as aimless as his. We weren't redeemed from that, to keep living like that. Because in the previous verse, he said, "Be holy, for I am holy." In all your conduct, be holy. In other words, be separate from God based on the traditions that he has given in the Scriptures. Reminds me, and as I point out here, reminds me of Daniel's statue. You've got clay and iron mingled together. If you have an iron axe or an iron shovel, you can put all kinds of pressure on that and it will not bend or break because it's made of something powerful. But if that iron was mingled with clay or dirt while it was being forged, it will break because it's brittle. Sadly, there are many traditions that people are holding that are going to be broken when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you remember what he said? Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many mighty works in your name?" And then I will say to them, "I never knew you." What a terrible break that will be for some people. But did you see what he said? Many will say to me on that day. This isn't going to be the exception. As he said earlier, the way that leads to life is straitened and narrow, and few are they that find it. So the traditions that have come down from God are very difficult sometimes to find because they are intermingled with the traditions of the world to the point where it's hard to distinguish without Scripture, without looking in the Bible. Oftentimes, the people in various religious organizations, the people who are teaching in our schools, the people who are in our government, they seem to be upright, they seem to be noble. But if you compare their lives to the Scriptures, you see grievous flaws that the Christian must remove from his heart. So there is a lot to unlearn when we become a Christian. Half-truths. Cleanliness is next to godliness. My mom used to quote that from time to time. Is it true? If your hands are dirty, does that mean if you don't wash them, you can't be godly? I think we'd all realize that that's kind of a silly tradition. Beware lest anyone cheat you. There's a lot of people that are going to be cheated. Those many that Jesus will say, "I never knew you," were the blind leading the blind and falling into the ditch. Why? Because they followed human tradition, which after 200 or 300 years seems just as acceptable as divine tradition. As a matter of fact, it seems to replace divine tradition. But it's going to cheat. If it comes only from philosophy, human philosophy, it's not in the Scripture. The word philosophy means love of wisdom. Sophos is wisdom, and philos is the love of wisdom. So the sophist is somebody who loves wisdom. And generally speaking, I mean, I took philosophy in college, and I was pretty impressed with the things that they've developed. It makes a lot of sense. And as long as the Scriptures are guiding it, Loving wisdom is a wonderful quality, but unfortunately, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty are called, because God chose the foolish things of this world to bring to nothing the wise. And he chose the base things and the weak things and the despised things. And so oftentimes the traditions that come down from God are discordant. And the traditions that come from men make perfect sense. Well, you know why that is, because we were raised in this culture, and therefore whatever's in this culture seems normal. Nobody ever stops to think that it's only the scriptures that can define normal. And that if it's in the scriptures, it's normal. Because God planned for us to live that way when he created us, and God expects us to live that way after we leave this life. They're normal. It's the philosophy of this age that is abnormal. But whether it's a creed book or a federal law, Christians are going to be cheated if they let go of scriptures and start following it, because it's only based on philosophy. Here's the problem with human tradition. Human tradition leads us to transgress the commands of God. If you accept what human tradition says today about the woman's role, you will never be able to fulfill what Paul and Peter say about the role of a woman. And let me rephrase that, what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul and Peter to reveal. You'll transgress it, or you'll make the commandment of no effect. As John said, whoever goes onward and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. He that abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Pretty simple. That's the thing about Bible traditions. They're very simple. They only become complex because of all the human wisdom that's around it, all the clay that seeks to mix itself with the iron of Scripture. But any time their fear toward me is a commandment taught by men. That's how Isaiah put it when Isaiah made that quote. And Jesus said, no, it's the other way around. Your fear cannot be a commandment of men. You must abide in my word to be my true disciples. Now, you've heard sermons like this your whole life. The only problem that we're facing today is the traditions are becoming further and further away from Scripture, and we're having to let go of more and more. Because of the stigma of baptism, some churches of Christ are teaching you don't need to be baptized. Because of the stigma of the name Church of Christ, some churches are telling us today you don't have to have that name, just call yourself a community church. Because of the pleasure of instrumental music, some churches of Christ are letting go of a cappella singing, which goes all the way back to the first century. Sing and make melody in your heart, not outside of your heart. And we're looking around and we're saying to ourselves, the people who believe what we have always believed and what they used to believe are becoming smaller and smaller, having less influence, having less money, having less respect. But you know, brethren, that's how it's always been. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy. Those who hold fast to the traditions set forth in the scriptures, that's what our great cloud of witnesses is there to show us. So, the traditions of God stand fast. Hold the traditions you were taught. Now, we were all taught traditions, but the traditions that we were taught have to be from the scriptures. That's what Paul is saying. That by our word or by our epistle. So if I see something in the book of Acts where Paul's talking and he's laying forth how things ought to be, or if I read in his epistle and he says this is how things ought to be, that's my tradition. That's your tradition. And if we can't accept that, brethren, let's at least be honest with ourselves. We do not want to hold the traditions that are in the Scriptures. We have risen above Scripture. We're smarter today. We understand things better today. We can set aside the Scripture and we can follow human tradition because human tradition now transcends Scripture. Does that sound like harmony? Does that make any sense to you? Every generation can say that. Every generation, even the one in 1000 AD, could say we have grown above Scripture and what we think is higher than Scripture. But it's not. Withdraw, he says, from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. As the world proceeds away from the traditions received from the apostles, that's disorderly. I have to see it that way. If I don't see it that way, then I can't do what Paul said here. How can I withdraw from a brother that the Scriptures calls disorderly if I don't see any problem with human tradition? So we're checkmated no matter which way we go. If we say to ourselves, well, the Scriptures are just a rough guideline, but John said, whoever goes onward and doesn't abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. So if I have any doctrine or any practice or any activity that I'm involved in that's not justified or in the Word of God, I have to go beyond to do it. So we're checkmated. We're checkmated here because if we don't follow the traditions that go all the way back to the Scriptures, we need to be withdrawn from. And we need to withdraw ourselves from every brother who walks disorderly and not according. Now, we just finished talking about this in our Bible class. The word disorderly means out of the ranks. We are all soldiers of Christ. We sing the song, Soldiers of Christ Arise. We have a commander. Our commander has taught us how to walk. And we should all be putting our foot down exactly the same on every doctrine in the Scriptures. Because as Paul said, I beseech you that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, what's the standard? What's the standard by which you and I can be united and we can agree? Well, the standard is the Scripture. And those who refuse are walking disorderly. So Paul said, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Now, if Paul could praise the Corinthians for that, don't you think he could praise the church here at Holly Street for that? Don't you think that he would praise every New Testament church in the world today who remembers him in all things? Why would Paul say that? Does Paul think he is so important? No, Paul doesn't think he's important, but he knows the words which I write are the commandments of the Lord. He will tell them this in chapter 14. But here in chapter 11, he says, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered to them. And that's when he starts in, that the head of the woman is the man. That's a tradition that he praised them for keeping. Then he talks about the Lord's Supper when you come together as a church to take the Lord's Supper. Every command becomes a new manner of life, a new tradition. I was raised in the world. I had to let go of many old traditions in order to accept the new traditions. Many of you have the same circumstance. Others were raised in the Lord's church by Christian parents, and the traditions that they were handed down do go back oftentimes to the Scriptures, but you never know until you study the Scriptures to be sure that that's what we're doing. So the commands of worship, the commands of organization, the commands of how to become a Christian, the commands of morals and ethics, the examples of those in the New Testament, creating the new traditions. Here, Paul, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways. Notice he doesn't say my teachings, he says my ways, because Paul's traditions were now based on Scripture. You remember in Philippians chapter 3, he said this, What things were gained to me, I suffered Christ. I suffered loss for Christ. Yes, I suffer the loss of all things and see them as rubbish. Well, what did he lose? He lost his manner of life. He lost his traditions. The traditions he had received from Judaism had to be set aside so that he could pick up new traditions, traditions of Christ, commands of Christ that need to be handed down from generation to generation to generation, instead of the commands of Moses that needed to be handed down from generation to generation. He will remind you of my ways as I teach everywhere in every church. So if Paul were here today, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he would be saying exactly the same things he said in the first century. This idea that somehow we can grow beyond Scripture is actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the author of every word in the Scriptures. If you don't believe that, then you don't have enough faith to understand how God gave us his revealed will. Jesus made it very clear. It is not you who speak. It is the Spirit of my Father who speaks in you. And as Paul pointed out, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches. Remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. I made this point last week. I have studied with many different people in many different churches, always with a view that if they're right and I'm wrong, I'm going to have to leave and I'm going to have to change, because that's always been my philosophy. I want to be right. But after studying for almost 50 years now, I've never found a church like the Church of Christ. I've never found a church that holds to the traditions passed down from the commandments. And that's why I feel so confident to preach these things sincerely. Now, how did they deal with the first human tradition? There was a human tradition that was attempted to be brought into the church in Acts chapter 15. Some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, if that had stuck, you and I would be keeping the Sabbath, we would be circumcising our children, we would be continuing on with the food distinctions, we would be continuing on with the law of Moses. It's necessary to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, that would have been a tradition. But the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And there was much dispute, because there was a side who was absolutely convinced this tradition needs to be introduced into the Lord's church. And there was another side who was equally concerned that it not be brought into the church. So they come together. And Peter rises up and he tells them. And it was convincing. Now, talk about what he told them in the next slide. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And then James got up and said, men and brethren, listen to me. Simeon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Now, you may be looking at that going, well, I don't really see in here why that's so powerful, but we need to learn, because these are the traditions that have been handed down to us. Peter said, it is false, because my example of God sending me to convert the Gentiles, and I was not commanded to tell them to keep the law, therefore Gentiles do not have to keep the law of Moses. Gentiles can be saved through baptism and the gospel alone. We do not have to circumcise them. We do not have to command them to keep the law of Moses. That tradition is a human tradition. It is not a man's tradition. Paul and Barnabas get up. It's false, because of the necessary inference that if God allowed us to perform miracles while preaching that the Gentiles can be saved through baptism and obedience to the gospel, it has to be true. How many miracles have you performed, Pharisees, who say you have to be circumcised and keep the law? And of course, the answer would have been none. Jesus said, these signs will follow. They will convict. They will confirm the word. Paul says, my preaching has been confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, my teaching is true. Now that continues on into Matthew and Mark and Luke and John as the apostles are writing these things. They were performing these miracles. And as Paul said, because we perform miracles, you have to believe what we teach. And if you don't believe what we teach, you can't be a Christian. It's just that simple. James gets up and says it's false because the scriptures proclaim the Gentiles will remain Gentiles after they obey the gospel. And he quotes about six scriptures from the old law that prove conclusively. So the tradition of Gentiles coming into the church exactly as the Jews did and becoming Christians exactly like Jews are Christians was set forth here. Now, those traditions were accepted. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. You see, it has to go back to their commandments. If it doesn't go back to their commandments, it's not our tradition. Verse 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Now the whole chapter is stamped with inspiration. When there's a tradition, I look at the examples, look at the commands, I look at the inferences, and I draw a conclusion, just like they did. Because it seemed to the Holy Spirit and to us, seemed good to do it the way that they did it. So, we have a new tradition. The Gentiles will obey the gospel and be Christians without obeying or submitting to anything from the law of Moses. Now, you may be saying in your mind, well, what's that have to do with today? Well, we want to look at a principle that is set forth without anything controversial, so that when we get to controversial things, we've already agreed this is the way. So traditions are tested by the commands given in the scriptures, by the examples, and by any and all conclusions that must be drawn based on those commandments and examples. This is the hermeneutic that is recorded in the scriptures. This is not Alexander Campbell's hermeneutic. It is not the hermeneutic of the Church of Christ. It is in Acts 15, Peter's example, Paul and Barnabas' necessary inference, and James's direct statements. That's the hermeneutic by which we assess all traditions in the church. If it passes, if we can find an example, what we would call an approved, inspired example, that's all we need. Because that's what Paul said. Keep following the traditions you receive from us, either by word or by our epistle. Same thing with necessary inferences. Same thing with command. So, Paul's examples are traditions. Anything outside of these norms are not traditions of God, but traditions of men. Now, I hope that you're starting to see he's saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. Well, repetition is how we learn things. So yes, I am. I'm saying the same thing over and over again. If it's human tradition, you'll lose your soul if you follow it. Because if it transgresses the scriptures or it adds something to the scriptures, we can't do it. If it comes from God, we have to do it. Don't buy into the new philosophy that is going and raging through the world today, that the scriptures must be assessed by human norms in this generation, and what Paul wrote that doesn't fit with that must be discarded. So what Paul said about women, what Jesus said about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, what Paul said about the responsibilities of morality regarding homosexuality, or people who are effeminate, men who want to be women, women who want to be men, it's clear. The only way to get around it is to say Paul didn't know what he was talking about, and sadly, many people who say they're Christians are buying into that. And many of the denominations today are telling people, you can be a Christian and have a homosexual spouse. We see no problem with that at all. And I wouldn't see any problem with it either. Except Paul said that all homosexuals must be converted and become Christians and give that lifestyle up. So the basis of all human tradition, and we've already read this verse, so, and we've already read the next verse, so I'm going to skip over those because we're just about out of time. But this is a verse we need to think about. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. But brethren, think about this. What do we know about Jesus? When he went back to heaven, what did we have? What did he leave us? Nothing. He left us 12 men. And he promised those 12 men would be guided into all the truth, and that the Holy Spirit would be with us forever because of the work that they did. So all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, if they fulfilled that mandate, then Matthew through Revelation is the teaching of all things that I have commanded you and that we need to observe. Now, if that's not true, I don't know how we could possibly fulfill this verse. And look at his last words. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So this process was going to continue down through the centuries. Now, therefore, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Now, that's what happens. When I say, Paul was wrong, and I'm right, doesn't that make me puffed up? Aren't I saying I'm smarter than Paul? Aren't I saying that my thoughts are not only equal to Paul, but we can set Paul's aside and accept mine? You need to learn not to think beyond what is written so that you won't be puffed up. Verse 7, who makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? He's talking about Scripture, brethren. And so as we conclude our lesson this morning, I just had one basic point to make. We all have traditions. Things that are near and dear to our hearts. Things that we would argue with or argue against if somebody was to try to remove them. Let's be sure that all of those traditions go all the way back to the New Testament Scriptures. If they don't go back to the New Testament Scriptures, they are commandments of men. And if we follow them, we will not be a Christian anymore. As Paul said in chapter 1, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ, I'm of Calvin, I'm of Luther, I'm of the Pope. So it continues on. We need to remove it. As we sing the song of encouragement this morning, if there's anyone in the audience who's been touched by this lesson in any way, who has allowed the traditions of men to somehow create a conduct that they know is unbecoming of a Christian, we would ask you to take care of that, either privately or publicly. If you're here as an individual who has not yet obeyed the gospel, then we would invite you to take the opportunity to do that while we together stand and sing.